He wasn't Mark Zuckerberg. He wasn't the Google boys. He wasn't somebody who was building a business to become super rich. He was constantly working to build the internet to become a better, more effective, freer place. And to see somebody who literally from the age 12 spent all of his time devoted to this public interest work be driven to the edge the way he was driven to the edge and commit suicide like this is just tragic. And you grasp for something that might explain or justify it, and there's just nothing here. It's a reflection of the pathologies of our culture and our government, and really just devastating.
What do you know about his mental state in his last days or weeks?
It was very misleading. We saw him a couple times over the course of December. I have a very good friend who saw him on Thursday. You know, there's nothing that was striking that he was depressed. And, you know, I know that one can't say that suicide is rational. And I understand there's certainly craziness involved. But I believe this was somebody who was coming to recognize the extraordinary future he was confronting and the burden it was going to impose on his family and friends, and just chose not to impose that burden.
You describe him in your blog as having been a genius, brilliant, and funny. Tell us about his personality a bit more.
You know, he was a geek, but unlike most geeks, he had this drive to look up from the computer and understand what he was doing was going to do to the world. Like Peter Pan, we'll always remember him as this young, idealistic soul, but that was what was most striking about him.
To a lot of people, Aaron Swartz was an internet folk hero, pushing to make the internet truly free and open to the public. To those who were prosecuting him, he was a criminal and he could have faced many years in jail. How hard did that burden of accusation bear on him?
I think the U.S. prosecutors were being driven by a very strong political pressure, which was produced by a parallel set of internet-related events, which was the WikiLeaks and Bradley Manning. You know, both of these events were happening at about the same time. And when the Bradley Manning thing happened, it was pretty clear the government took this position. They were going to brook no violation of any of these laws, and they were going to be as strict and punitive as they possibly could. So there was a kid who had targeted a service, JSTOR, that collects academic articles, and he was alleged to download those articles. The government, went through this crazy calculation to prove that this was tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars that he had, quote, stolen, and therefore he should be prosecuted and subject to, upwards of 50 years in jail for his behavior. And it was just simply as a way to force him into settling and agreeing that he had committed a felony. And I think that was the line Aaron was not going to cross. He was not going to agree that he had committed a felony. But in America, the choice to wage a legal campaign against the government is enormously expensive. And I think, he was looking at maybe $1 million in legal fees to be able to fight this to the end, and recognizing that he had no means to fight.
What do you think Aaron Swartz's legacy will be?
This incredible idealism that drove him in everything he did. You know, he recognized he had a technical talent, but he was committed to turning that talent into producing something valuable and good. And that meant most of his life not making any money. You know, he lived extremely frugally, just devoted to doing what he could to make the internet and to use the internet to make society as good as it possibly could. And if we get people to recognize that idealism and commitment, especially geeks, especially technologists, that would be enormously good.